Okie dokie. Click what? Good morning, everybody. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Good morning. My name is Sabrina Cardoza. I am the hearing officer for the Marin County Deputy Zoning Administrator hearing today. It is 10:03 a.m., and today is September 4th, 2025. I will be the hearing officer today. There's two items, and I will be the hearing officer for items one and two. Before we start, I just want to provide a little instructions on the public hearing portion of today's meeting. This relates to the public commenting. So please note that microphones are live, so be mindful of what you are putting out into what the mics can pick up. If you would like to make comments on the project, please fill out the blue speaker cards. We have a few already, so if you haven't filled one out, go ahead and check in with Michelle Reed, our secretary here today. This meeting is being recorded, so please adhere to the following instructions if you want to make comments. One, speak clearly into the microphone, which is at the podiums. And then two, please identify yourself and direct your comments to me, not the audience. In terms of how many minutes each speaker is going to get today, seeing the crowd here, we're going to do 3 minutes for individuals, and the applicants for each item will be given 5 minutes. If you are with an organization, typically organizations can have 5 minutes. I see that there may be multiple folks from one organization, so I do ask if you can consolidate your comments into a five-minute period for your organization. And whoever the lead person is speaking on behalf of that organization, if you can just, you know, let us know what organization you're speaking on behalf of and that you'll have multiple folks going with you. And then just in general, if you're making your comment and I ask that you make comments on anything new that hasn't been said already. So if you could just pay attention to what the other comments are. And that's it for that. So I'm going to go ahead and get started for item number one. The two items on the agenda today are, item one is the Stinson Beach Fire Protection District's Coastal Development Permit, Coastal Variance Design Review and Conditional Use Permit, Project P5181. And item two is the Priory Conditional Use Permit Amendment, which is P5259. So starting with item one, the Stinson Beach Fire Protection District Coastal Development Permit, Coastal Variance Design Review Conditional Use Permit, Project number P5181, is located at a currently vacant property, which is identified as 3422 State Route 1 in Stinson Beach. So the applicant requests a coastal development permit, coastal variance, design review, and use permit approval to construct and operate a 9,004 square foot fire station and associated site improvements, which include a trash enclosure, generator on a concrete pad, a transformer, EV charging stations, and a new septic system. The project would also entail the removal of a heritage-sized bay laurel tree. The total 9,004 square feet in the proposal would consist of 8,716 square feet identified as floor area. And this would result in a floor area ratio of 68% on the 13,200 square foot lot. The proposal entails a maximum height of 25 feet and 6 3/4 inches above grade and would be located on the site with the following setbacks: 33 feet from the southern front property line, 5 feet from the western side property line, 13 feet from the eastern side property line, and 21 feet 7 1/2 inches from the northern rear property line. Other site improvements include a parking area, permeable pavers, gravel, and the removal of non-regulated trees. So, Easton Ehlers is the staff planner who has been working on the project. Easton, have there been any additional public correspondence since the publishing of the staff report?
There has been no additional public comment. However, I would like to read one item into the record.
Okay.
The applicant did provide the local coastal program historic review checklist. to supplement the application.
Okay, Michelle, can you accept that? Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so next I'm gonna be opening the public testimony. So again, please note that the meeting is being recorded. We kindly ask that you speak into the microphone and identify yourself and direct your comments to me. So I'm going to ask the applicant to come up first, and you have 5 minutes once you get to the microphone. Nope, sorry, this one. I'll start once you talk.
Good morning. Chris Ford, BRW Architects, principal of the architectural firm based in San Francisco, and serving as the design consultant for the applicant. I'm going to keep my comments brief, just very proud to be a part of this project. And as the staff report points out, it's an important community asset that we think is appropriately designed and meets all the regulations. We've reviewed the conditions of approval and have no objections to the draft as submitted. And I'm available for questions. I'm gonna leave the rest of our time to Chief Perry. Thank you.
Thank you, good morning. My name is Jesse Perry, and I'm the fire chief of the Stinson Beach Fire Protection District. Also a lifelong resident of Stinson Beach, and I have a family and two kids who live up on the hill. I just want to say that this project has been in the planning stages for more than a decade, and we're really excited to be where we're at right now. Our current facility was built in 1949. It was originally built as a garage for volunteers to roll out engines. A lot has changed since then, both in Stinson Beach and in the fire service. Today, our community and our visitors expect us to be experts in structural firefighting, wildland firefighting, emergency medical services, vehicle accidents, rope rescues, water rescues, and coastal storm response. We're also responsible for disaster preparedness and response to major emergencies such as earthquakes, tsunamis, pandemics, and wildfires. We can't meet those expectations today working out of a 1940s garage. Rising property values and limiting housing has also made it impossible to sustain an all-volunteer staffing model of the past. So we have been forced to adapt. We've brought on career staff, strengthened our leadership, raised our level of service. But our overnight staff cannot live and work out of a garage designed 75 years ago. That brings us here today. The project is the answer to these challenges. The proposed design gives us a station that meets today's needs while preparing us for tomorrow's, which is an aging population out in Stinson, more visitors, changing vegetation and fire conditions, and sea level rise reshaping our coast. In the face of these realities, our mission remains the same: to protect life, property, and the environment. We're proud to be at this stage. We're grateful for the CDA team and all of the partner departments for their time and energy and collaboration that have brought us to this moment. We wholeheartedly support the recommendation of the resolution with the contingencies, many of which are already reflected in our current design. We urge you to pass the resolution and help us take the next step bringing this critically important project to life. Thank you very much.
Wait, don't leave.
Oh,
I have
no,
some questions.
I
do have just a couple questions for you as the applicant. So I heard you mention, you know, the change in needs with the community, but can you speak a little further to the staffing needs and the service area and what that might require in terms of, like, what staffing needs you're proposing to include with the use here?
Yeah, so a really big important piece of this project is that it is a regional asset to not just Stinson Beach, but to the entire West Marin area. One of which being emergency medical response. One of the large issues in Stinson is a lack of an ambulance service, and this specific building allows for ambulance and dorms for ALS personnel, advanced life support personnel, to be stationed there, which is critical to the safety of not just us, but the community of the visitors that come and frequent our coastline. Our need is because we don't have any living quarters in this garage. And our need is to build this living area, which is designed to be upstairs, to house those individuals. A kind of sub-reflection of this is, you know, these are members who are going to be living at the station for about a third of their life. That's the firefighter schedule. And it also impacts the community to have some more people in town, albeit just a third. But that's our hope for community.
Can you just quickly describe that firefighter schedule? I saw somewhere in the application there was maybe a 24-hour. Like, what does that look like?
It's a 48 hours on, 96 hours off shift schedule. So these individuals stay there essentially two full days, and then they have some time off in a rotating schedule. In addition to the paid staff, there's living quarters for volunteer firefighters as well to be able to contribute to the organization if they live over the hill.
So can you describe like the vehicle needs and if that impacts how many staff is staying on site as well?
Yeah, I think the vehicle needs, we're anticipating cross-staffing a structural firefighting engine and a wildland firefighting engine with rescue equipment on there. And the big vehicle need is this ambulance bay, which is a third ambulance bay, which requires an additional bay as well as two dorms for those personnel.
So then can you describe how those needs have kind of maybe directed the design of the project and the size?
Yeah, so we don't have those current facilities, and it's the largest limiting factor to having that level of service out in West Marin. It's important to note that an ambulance is a regional asset, so it benefits communities north and south and even on the 101 corridor. So since we don't have those facilities currently, we're unable to provide that service to the community. In order to provide that service to the community, we need the size and we need the space for those additional units.
Thank you for answering those additional questions. I have just like two more.
Okay, yeah.
Is there anything preventing the relocation of either the transformer and or the trash enclosures? Like what's the design around that
this is
location?
A very big puzzle, and I'm sure Chris can attest to where we're at. The limitations that we have is the septic system, and that is limiting where our water supply can come into the street as well as where our electrical can come into the street. It's been multiple hours, multiple different versions of finding a way to get those through. It's a very, very tight site, and we've done our best to navigate those problems. Additionally, the trash enclosure is where it is because we're hoping to keep that 13-foot alleyway on the south of the property open for both emergency response to the vehicle or to the structures behind us to allow for an engine to come in and provide fire suppression to the units behind us, and also to allow for some maintenance to come through and service the back of the building.
So how about just the trash enclosure? Is there any room on the site to move that?
Not as I see it. Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Ford, regarding the transformer. So because of the increase of electrical demand service, it's an all-electric building, and the PG&E requirements that when you reach a certain amperage threshold, the transformer has to move from the current location up on the pole to ground mount, and that's all per PG&E requirements.
And again, is that the location of that restricted by the other site improvements you or Chief Perry was alluding to with the septic, the water, and
correct.
Parking?
Yeah, we carved out that one bottom left-hand corner for the what PG&E calls the primary run, which they want as close to their overhead line as possible. So that made it put the transformer right on the edge of the street.
Is there any opportunity to reorient the trash enclosure, like where it's, because the opening looks like it would be open towards the other property? Can you switch that around?
Give us a sec. No worries.
I'm looking at the architectural site plan on AS1.1. Are there any limitations to reorienting the opening for the trash enclosure?
Gotcha. So that it opens towards the building as opposed to the property line?
Or just elsewhere, not opening towards the neighboring property?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's no, to ask that differently, there's no limitations to reorienting that. But there are limitations to relocating it, is that correct?
Correct. Okay.
And then the last question, I promise, is... The parking plan. So I read through the parking narrative that was provided in the application, and it describes utilizing parking on the community center, anything like that. Can you describe the parking plan specifically for training? So I see that there is a 28-ish person training room part of the building. What is the plan for the additional folks that'll be part of the training?
Yeah, it's a good question. So our current facility, we do not have any designated parking, and we partner with the community center for those additional spots. So the anticipated plan right now is to continue that partnership, and when we have a scheduled event, utilize those spots. For unscheduled emergency events like storm response, we'd utilize the National Park Service parking lot for large events and have them park over there and walk over to the station.
And has that all been looked at by the Department of Public Works? I see staff over there. If I can just ask staff really quickly to come up and talk about the parking requirements real fast as part of this question.
Hi, I'm Jack. I'm an engineer in the Department of Public Works.
Yeah, so Jack, can you describe the parking requirements as it relates to the proposed use here and the department's review of it?
Yeah, our Marin County Code doesn't codify specific parking requirements for a fire station. Applicant provided a parking narrative that outlined their requirements for their needs, and we reviewed the project in that context.
And does it adequately meet the standard of review for the Department of Public Works?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all. Okay. Okay. Thank you, applicants and representatives. I'm going to move on to the additional comments. So I see 5 comments related to this project. And it looks like they're all related to the same association, if not group. if that's true, if I could ask maybe the first person, let's see. I have Nicholas, Kaylee, Bryce, Courtney, and Christopher. Are you all part of the same organization? Great. So could I ask you all then to come up? You'll have 5 minutes as a group, so that's potentially 1 minute per person. You can go ahead, come up, again, introduce the organization you're with, and then just pass it on to your colleagues, and we'll go from there. So whoever wants to do that first. this one right over here. Okay, you're on the clock.
All right, good morning. My name is Nick Koenig. I'm a volunteer firefighter EMT at Stinson Beach, and I'm the secretary of the Volunteer Firefighters Association. My ties to Stinson run deep, as my wife was raised there, and my kids have spent much of their childhood there, too. This community is part of my family's story, and it's why I serve. Our fire department is a combination department, as you heard Chief Perry mention earlier. Career firefighters and volunteer firefighters working together to protect residents and countless visitors of Stinson Beach. In the fire service, we say the fire can't tell the difference between a volunteer and a career firefighter. And it's true. When the call comes in, we all suit up, we all respond, and we all face the same risks, holding ourselves to the same professional industry standards. But our current station doesn't reflect that professional reality. The station was built 70 years ago as a garage, and today it's cramped, outdated, and not built for modern fire, EMS, or rescue operations. And most importantly, it puts those of us who serve at significant risk of chemical exposure because our garage is the one space where we do everything. We eat there, we sleep there, we train there, we serve. The proposed station is a commitment to firefighter safety, emergency preparedness, and the future of Stinson Beach. And on behalf of the Volunteer Firefighters Association, I respectfully ask for the support in approving this project in its current state. Thank you.
Morning, Bryce Breyer, fire apparatus engineer, Stinson Beach Fire. I guess I could speak more so on the details of living in-house, and essentially this station is built around our apparatus bay. The majority of our station is the apparatus bay. With that said, there are exposures to diesel exhausts, And we have our workout space right next to the engines. We have our locker space. People come in for medical checkouts in that area. And so on top of that, our living quarters is also our bedroom, in a sense. So one person sleeps in the living room area, and then we have our captains who sleep in a trailer right outside the station. With that said, we're very excited for the new fire station project, and it would be our goal meeting towards that industry standard for our living situation. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Chris Medley-Pohl. I'm an engineer paramedic with Stinson Beach Fire. I've been proud to serve the community since 2021. My colleagues have already spoken highly of the practical needs for this new fire station, and I am looking forward to this becoming a reality. Just want to lend my support to it and speak highly of the community and how it's supported us thus far, and look forward to community continuing to serve. This fire station will bring so much benefit to the community. It will help us with our longevity as firefighters, working our career-long sort of experience with exposure to different chemicals. And avoiding that with this new fire station will be huge, not to mention many other benefits. So I just want to say I'm here to support the project.
Hello. My name is Carrie Crosby, and I am a resident of Stinson Beach. I came out of retirement to work for the district, and I've been with them for about 3.5 years now. My statement is in support of the design of this fire station. I love living in the little seaside town that I live in, and I know that the team at Stinson Beach Fire has spent a lot of time thinking about how the new structure would fit in with the rest of the buildings along Highway 1. They looked closely at the other commercial buildings and made sure that the station would complement the rest of Stinson's downtown area. The architect was also asked to honor town history by drawing inspiration from the Grand Hotel that stood on our building site for many years and burned down in 1971. The district's intention has always been for the new fire station to not only serve its critical public safety purpose, but also to reflect and respect the look and feel of the rest of the town. Thank you.
I'm Courtney Buchert. I'm part of the Volunteer Association, but I'm speaking on behalf of myself as a resident and homeowner in town. I feel privileged to be able to live at Stinson Beach, but I think one of the responsibilities of that privilege is to serve the communities that come and visit, even though they can't live there, like I did for the better part of 40 years. With all the construction that has been going on in the time that I've been in Stinson, this is a true community asset. So for all the private construction that has actually occurred in town, suddenly we have an opportunity to do something that is for everybody. And so I'm very supportive of this project, both as a donor and as an owner, and yes, as a volunteer firefighter.
Thank you. Wow. 5 minutes exactly, 22 seconds. That's right. You may all take a seat. Just looking, so I've gone through the speaker cards, and I just want to ensure that everyone has had a chance to speak. So if there's no other, is there one more comment? No other ones? Okay, great. So I'm going to go ahead and close the public testimony. And now I'm going to move into my remarks. I'd like to respond or acknowledge the public comment that the project has received so far. Some of the public comments in summary include concerns related to the size, the floor area ratio being 68% of the lot, the height being proposed over the 25-foot height limit of the zoning district, and the concerns about the locations of the transformers and trash enclosures and other site improvements, including the parking. So I will say, right, like, the public comments touched on all of those concerns as essentially the proposal could potentially be out of scale of the neighborhood. But after hearing the testimony from the applicants and those who are would be living, you know, the firefighters living in the building, I concur with staff's modification of the project to reduce the height. The height has been modified to meet the 25-foot height limit. So when we consider a variance, we're considering whether or not there's a unique site circumstance that would prevent the proposal to meeting that standard. And in this case, I concur with staff that the height can come down to that 25 feet. So I concur with that modification. After hearing the testimony about the trash enclosure, I am going to modify the project to just ensure that the trash enclosure will be oriented to have the openings in another location. So staff, if you can modify the resolution to include prior to this, prior to submitting a building permit, the project shall modify the plans to reorient the trash enclosure to be oriented to the interior of the site. And then in terms of the scale, you know, the design review components and the coastal development permit components of this review considers the compatibility of the structure to the surrounding area. And considering that the use of a public facility or a public service facility already occurs in the community, and that use is just being moved to this other area, in response to the size concerns, I concur with staff that the facility has been designed such to meet the minimum scale necessary. So after hearing testimony regarding the service needs of the community and what vehicles are needed and the staffing requirements for that, I think on balance with the use, the project has been designed to meet the minimum scale necessary to adequately serve the use and is compatible with the surrounding uses. So with that, I am going to close my remarks. I read the report. I visited the site on Tuesday, which is why I did have that concern about the trash enclosure. So overall, I'm in agreement with staff's recommendation, including the modifications to the height and the trash enclosure, and I move to approve the project as conditioned. So approved. So the project is approved, but in closing, just please note that this decision is not final. This decision can be appealed to the Planning Commission within the next 10 business days. For any questions as to that appeal date and the process, please contact the planner, Easton Ehlers. And this concludes the Deputy Zoning Administrator hearing on this item, and the time is 10:30. Wow. Okay. Thank you all. I just need like a 2-minute break prior to the Priory to take a sip of water. So I'm going to give myself 2 minutes. Is that okay? Can I do a 2-minute break? Hearing, and I will now be moving on to item 2 on the agenda, which is the Priory Conditional Use Permit and CEQA Exemption located at 229 Laurel Grove in Kentfield. Okay, so the applicant is requesting a conditional use permit amendment to increase the total number of members from 55 to 70 at the Priory Tennis and Swim Club, which is a private recreational club located in Kentfield. The club was established through prior conditional use permit approvals in 1978, 1980, and 1999. This application does not include any physical changes or improvements. And that is it. So I am going to direct this to staff. The staff planner is Megan Alton. Have there been any additional public correspondence since the publishing of the staff report and the supplemental memorandum that was provided?
Yes. So in addition to the supplemental memorandum, I got a voicemail yesterday from Penn Arnett. He is a neighbor that lives directly across the street. He is not able to be here today, so I offered to restate his comments for you because it didn't look like he had commented written. But I know he did attend the Kent Field Design Review Board meeting, but his concerns, again, were regarding parking. His concern, and he wants to remain the fact that the residents, or sorry, that the members of the club are not allowed to park in front, and you know, just kind of is okay. I don't want to say he's okay with the change. He just wants the members to continue to walk or bike to the club, and it's just his always has been his concern regarding parking because there is no parking at the facility. And so I did let him know that I was going to reiterate his comments today, but other than that, I have not received anything else.
Thank you, Megan. I note that the comment was received. Can I ask you a question regarding the resolution? I just want to double check with you. Does the resolution propose, is this resolution proposed to fully supersede any of the previous conditional use permits?
Yes.
Okay. And are there other conditions of approval in those previous conditions of approval that would be carried forward?
We're not carrying those forward.
Okay. So then this conditional use permit will just be related to the membership?
Yes.
Okay.
If that's how you would like.
Now I'm going to open the public testimony. Again, just to reiterate the hearing procedures, I'm going to ask the applicant to come up first, and you will have 5 minutes. And then if there are other public comments from individuals, you could have 3 minutes. And if there is an organization, you can have 5. Or if you're speaking on behalf of an organization, you have 5. I do ask that you fill out the speaker card. I only have 1, which I think is the applicant. So, applicant, please go ahead and come up. Oh, yeah, please do while we start the public comment. So if you could please introduce yourself, you have 5 minutes as the applicant.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Priory. My name is Ashley Harris, and I am a resident of Kentfield and a member of the board of directors of the Priory. As you noted, the Priory's use permit has been in place since 1977, and for nearly 5 decades, the club has operated in compliance with its conditions, maintaining the quiet residential character of our neighborhood. The Priory was formed in the late 1970s by neighbors with a vision to create a park-like setting for recreation and connection, and to build a close-knit community where families could gather, play, and grow together. That vision continues to guide us today. We are respectfully requesting an amendment to the Priory's use permit to increase the membership cap from 55 to 70 families. This is a modest, measured increase, but it's essential for ensuring that the Priory remains vibrant, relevant, and welcoming to future generations. Kentfield does not have a town green, plaza, or other central gathering place where neighbors can meet and spend time together. The Priory helps fill this gap for the Laurel Grove neighborhood. Since its founding, the Priory has been more than a pool or tennis club. It is a neighborhood hub that connects families of all ages. In the 70s and 80s, it was the place where neighborhood kids learned to swim together, neighbors gathered for Wednesday barbecues and simple events like multi-generational club tennis tournaments and small costume parties that brought the community closer together. We want to recapture that sense of belonging and activity. Currently, over 60% of our members have been part of the Priory for more than a decade, with some members participating for over 50 years. These longstanding members are the heart of our traditions, but they use the facilities less often today. At the same time, we have a wait list of over 30 families, mostly young families eager to bring energy back to the club, teach their children to swim, and revive the social fabric that has always been at the heart of this place. With only about 2 families moving off the wait list each year, some may wait 15 years to join, at which point it may be too late. Our vision is not to replace older members. They are a treasured part of our community, but to welcome new families who will actively use the club and help create a thriving neighborhood community. In a time where loneliness, social anxiety, and excessive screen time dominate daily life, particularly for kids, having a local walkable place where neighbors can gather has never been more important. We understand that parking has been raised as a concern, and we take this issue very seriously. We've taken a number of steps to address it already. All new members must sign a member agreement requiring all members and guests to walk or bike to the Priory, except in rare cases where doing so is not feasible. Violations of this rule may result in fines, suspension, or expulsion. We've also increased communication by email, in person, and on our website to reinforce these rules. And we always emphasize that there is never parking allowed in front of or across from the Priory, as we know this is very important to neighbors and the history of the club's formation. We are prepared to require all of our members to sign an updated member agreement that restates the parking and driving restrictions in our county use permit and bylaws and outline the consequences for failing to adhere to those restrictions. Membership is strictly limited to families living within a half mile of the club by road, which further minimizes traffic concerns. Neighbors who initially voiced opposition to the Priory's amendment request at the July 9th Kentfield Planning and Advisory Board meeting ultimately focused solely on parking compliance and were neutral on the amendment, provided the Priory maintains its parking restrictions. Despite our smaller footprint and membership base, the Priory is underutilized. The Priory sits on 2 acres and serves only 55 families. On a typical summer day, only about 3 members use the pool, and our tennis courts are almost always available. Adding 15 families would be a 27% increase over current membership, which would only modestly increase the intensity of use. While the community aspect is our primary motivation, increasing membership is also important for financial stability. Rising costs for maintenance, fire safety compliance, and infrastructure improvements place increasing pressure on our budget. A modest increase in membership allows us to maintain and improve our facilities while keeping dues affordable and inclusive. We are committed to ensuring the Priory remains accessible to all neighborhood families. Raising fees significantly would counter to our mission as a neighborhood club. Finally, this proposal is supported by current members, by families on our wait list, and by our local advisory board. We are not seeking a larger expansion beyond the 70. A modest wait list is important to ensure seamless membership transitions and continued community engagement. That is why we're only asking for a 15-member increase. I also want to note that even if the county approves this amendment, the Priory's membership cap cannot be changed without approval from our own members. We have a democratic process within the club, and any change to the membership limit would require approval of the board and the membership as a whole. The county's approval is the first step in this process. In closing, the Priory is a unique and special place, a neighborhood-built and neighborhood-operated club that brings people together in ways that few places can. The Priory is the kind of place where neighbors become friends and families grow up. Increasing our membership from 55 to 70 families will help us preserve this legacy while creating a vibrant, welcoming space for today's families and generations to come. We respectfully ask for your approval to amend our use permit to increase the membership cap. Thank you.
Ashley, please stay. I have some questions for you. I appreciate the history of the club and a little bit of how it all works. So I just have a couple of clarifying questions. So you mentioned, 60% of members have been long-term members and there's a wait list of over 30 families. Can you describe how the wait list opens? Like, what's that process? And you mentioned that something about like only 2 people get off the wait list at any time. Can you describe like why that is?
So members join, and then when they move away, they can then, or for some reason, if they're not using the club, they can give up their membership and someone else would take their place. So the reason why we only have about 2 families joining per year is people don't want to move away from the neighborhood and they don't want to give up their membership, even if they're not using it that often. They just like being part of this community group.
So if I could just kind of summarize that, it sounds like you're saying in order for spots to be open, it has the spots are open either by people moving or some other situation where there's the members no longer.
Yeah, or giving up their membership because we're subject to that 55. We can't add any. We're fully subscribed, mm-hmm. So we have 55 members. So for somebody to join off the wait list, someone has to leave.
And then can you remind me how the membership works in terms of like who it's open to? Is it for the community? Is there an HOA? Like, can you describe that?
No HOA. Okay. The requirements are just that you live within half a mile of the
half
club.
Half a mile.
By road.
Okay. And then so you mentioned, like kind of the makeup of the community and how that has led to the membership. Is the increase in, you know, how many people are on the wait list? Is that due to changes in the neighborhood, like more people moving in, or like what?
It's a combination. I think clubs and recreational clubs in general after COVID have just become way more popular. I think people have placed greater value on community clubs. I think they've seen that across the country. And we've just had a lot of younger families moving in who would really utilize the club. I think the neighborhood is having a period of turning over a bit.
Got it. So that half mile radius consists of a neighborhood that might be changing a little bit, whatever that looks like.
Yep.
Okay. Demographically. Or-
yeah.
Okay, got it. So you mentioned, you know, the club has changed its rules or bylaws to include a new agreement that kind of addresses the parking issues. How does the club respond to or deal with any sort of like violation of your own bylaws or rules?
Right. So our bylaws have always said that you should be walking or parking, walking or biking to the club or scootering in many cases. What we've done is, and whenever we send out communications to members in our emails, we always emphasize that. But what we've done is like bring it up another level. So we have put it on our website. We send more frequent reminders to members that you're supposed to walk or bike to the club and in no event park in front of or across from the club. And what the membership agreement reiterates to people, it's just a shorter version of some of the requirements in the bylaws, is that if you're found to violate the rule, then you can be subject to fines and suspension and expulsion because it puts our use permit at risk. So it's something that we all have an interest in upholding.
And with that, you know, this is a question that might need to be answered by staff. Was that parking looked at as part of your application? So I see you pointing to staff. So if I could have maybe Department of Public Works come up and kind of talk about the requirements and how that was looked at.
Hello, Alicia Stamp, Senior Civil Engineer with the Land Development Division of DPW. We did look at the application for parking, and they are not, there's no proposal to do any physical improvements to the facility, so we don't have the nexus to ask for additional parking.
Okay. Thank you. So now I'm going to, it's in public commenting. Thank you, Ashley, for your comments. That was the applicant. I'm now going to open it up to the speaker cards that I have, and I'm going to start with Freddie. So you can come up to the podium right here.
Hi, my name is Freddie Gottesman, and I live on 111 Oak Avenue in Kentfield, right down the street from the Priory Club. My family moved here in 2021 with my wife, Alex, and we have three kids. Graham, who's 5 and just started at Basich Elementary right down the street, and we love the community and being able to like walk him to school. Hudson, who's 4, and our little daughter, Paige, who's 5 months old. We love being part of the community, and when I grew up in Austin, Texas, and we had a very similar club right down the street from my house, and it was such an important part of my life. I remember some of the best memories I've ever had was meeting up with my friends from down the street, riding our bike to play tennis, eat ice cream. And I really want that for my kids. We're at the period of our life where community, family is everything, and we'd be really grateful members. We're currently on the wait list. I'd prefer not to wait until my son is 20 to have him join the club. So it would really mean a lot to me and our family if you could open up to having additional members. Thank you.
Katie. Hi, my name is Katie Uhlenstein. I live about a half block away from the Priory on Poplar Drive, and we moved to the neighborhood about a year ago. My husband and I and our 3 daughters, ages 3, 3, and 5. And part of what drew us to this community and neighborhood was, you know, the prospect of access to a club like the Priory. We had heard from the prior owners of our home and the rest of the community how important it has been just to, you know, making the community so vibrant and having a place where everyone can gather and neighborhood kids can meet up and learn to swim. And so we were really, really excited about getting access to the Priory. We are current waitlist members as well, and we're a bit disheartened to hear about the rate of turnover in terms of membership. And so, just, you know, in full support of increasing the membership cap as a waitlist member, but also as a neighbor of the Priory. I have no concerns about parking. I walk by the Priory every single day and have not, you know, noticed anyone in violation of the parking rules. And we plan, of course, to walk or bike to the Priory as well if we become members. And so, yeah, we're excited about being members of the community and hopefully increasing the cap. So, thank you.
I actually did have a question again for the applicant. Ashley, if you can come back up. I have a question regarding events or anything like that. Does the bylaws allow for event?
We cannot hold organized events, so we don't hold large events for the community. What we do hold are events for, not really events, but like gatherings for our members. So Wednesday, people will be barbecuing. Please join. And we hold, over the course of the year, three different members' gatherings, and everybody walks or bikes, and they're usually about 50 people, and it's wonderful. It's a time for everybody to get together.
What's the communications around parking with those sort of gatherings?
Oh, always an email. We have a club manager, Moses Gittins, and he always sends an email reminding people of the parking restriction.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I just want to provide another opportunity if there's anyone else that wants to speak. Seeing none, I am going to... Oh, okay. So, oh, if you could please come up. You'll have to come up to the microphone. I'm going to let you speak, but I will ask you to fill out a card as well. You can do that after. Please identify yourself, and you have technically 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Linda Smith. I am one of the founding members of the Priory, so I'm one of the over 50 years members, and raised my family at the Priory. We enjoyed so much with all our friends, and as far as the parking, I think the members have honored it. I live like 200 steps on Laurel Grove from the Priory. I every day see cars on Laurel Grove Avenue, and they're not many. And the people who are more concerned, people do not park in front of their places. I know the three or four families that are concerned, and I really don't see any cars parked in front. If there is an event, those families sometimes put out orange cones to remind everybody. So I just think that the Priory has got to grow and stay forever. Thank you.
And if you could just remember to fill out one of those cards so we can make sure you're in the record. Okay, so with that, one more chance. Okay, I'm going to close the public testimony. And I'd just like to kind of summarize key points that I've heard from the testimony and also acknowledge the public comment that the project has received. So I read through the public comments that were provided in the staff report and what Megan had mentioned someone calling in for. And so, yeah, I would say most of the concerns with the project are related to the parking. I will say that there were several comments that, you know, kind of complimented the Priory on enforcing its rules. So I will acknowledge that there were comments that the parking, you know, is a concern, but appears to be adhered to for the most part. So after hearing from staff in Public Works, you know, this application does not provide or does not propose any physical improvements that would otherwise trigger parking requirements. So I am comfortable with staff's recommendation that, you know, the use permit is compatible with the neighborhood and the surrounding area and what it's proposing to do. So with that being said, you know, I do acknowledge that the Priory, you know, you have your private agreements with your members and it sounds like you're enforcing them. The county does not have the ability to enforce private agreements. With that being said, you know, this use permit doesn't cover any sort of like community at large events or anything outside of the club, what you're proposing with your membership. So there is no nexus for me to modify the proposal to look at parking in that way. So with that being said, I will ask staff to just ensure that, you know, I'd like for you to modify the resolution to acknowledge the prior use permits that, you know, any conditions that are part of those previous use permits that still apply, either, you know, include language in here that carries that over, or you can say that this conditional use permit supersedes prior conditional use permits. So again, that's just a modification of the resolution to acknowledge the status of the previous use permits. So with that, I'm going to move into my closing remarks. I've read the report. I did visit the site and acknowledge that, you know, the parking, the streets there don't lend itself to much more additional parking. And with that, I am in agreement with staff's recommendation for a conditional approval with the modifications to the resolution to acknowledge the previous use permit. And I move to approve the project as condition. So the project is approved. Your membership has increased. So please note that this decision is not final and can be appealed to the Planning Commission within the next 8 business days. This is in the interior of the county. So the appeal period is 8 business days. Please contact the planner, Megan Alton, as to the appeal dates or any procedures there. And this concludes the Deputy Zoning Administrator hearing, and the time is 10:58. Thank you, everyone.